Welcome to the Renewed by Truth podcast. Do you struggle with feelings of unworthiness, self-doubt, or just feeling like you are not enough? Do you want to make more of an impact for God's kingdom, but have beliefs that hold you back? Trust me, I have been there. If you are plugging in here today, this is not another self-help podcast, but one steeped in biblical truth. I will help you overcome limiting beliefs, find your true identity in Christ, and live out your God-given purpose. My name is Candy Creech, and this is the Renewed by Truth podcast. Let's get started. Welcome back, friends, to the Renewed by Truth podcast. I'm your host, Candy Creech. I'm so excited to be here today. It has been a while since I recorded a podcast. So if you've been listening and found me listening to some of my oldies, or maybe you haven't listened in a while, I'm really excited to be back. So I have a question for you to start this. Do you ever worry about something you need? Maybe it's, I really need this thing, like, where's this money going to come from? Or I need a different job. God, you've got to provide. How are we going to make it? How am I going to pay for this thing? Do you ever worry about those things? Well, today, I want to talk to you about provision. As I was reading this week in our daily Bible reading, we have a group of women that are doing this on the Bible app, just going through the Bible and reading it throughout the year. We started this at the beginning of January. And as we've been reading, we have been in the book of Exodus. So if you have read the Bible before, then you know what I'm talking about. Exodus is when God took the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and he led them through the wilderness for 40 years and into the promised land. And maybe you know that story. Maybe you've studied that. And this is what I think is so cool about this. I have done multiple Bible studies that I say always takes me back to the wilderness. And so many times in my life, especially when I was, I would say in my early 40s, God was showing me how he had offered me freedom, but I kept putting myself back into slavery. It was so eye-opening for me. It's so close to my heart. So when we got to this part in the daily Bible reading, I was really excited. But then I think, oh, I've read this so many times before. Is God going to show me something different? Well, he did show me something different. And it actually happened to be at just the right time in my life when he was showing me this. So I wanted to share some things that I learned from this about provision that I think, I hope is a surprise to you. And I hope it's something that God is going to speak to your heart today, and he's going to use this to transform your life, because that's what I want when you listen. I know I'm not entertaining, so I know you don't listen for entertainment, but I hope you listen so that God can do a work in you and he can use the words that I'm speaking to transform your life, is my hope. When God takes us back to the wilderness, I want to set it up a little bit, kind of tell you where they were. So they've crossed the Red Sea. God's shown this miracle and everything. Well, they get out there and I guess they're getting hungry. They took some food with them. Maybe that food has run out and they're like, oh no, what are we going to do? We're going to starve. And what did they do? They started grumbling to God. And sometimes we can be critical of the Israelites when we look at the things of how they would go from, God would provide these miracles for them and then they would go and worship idols. But honestly, I feel like it's the same thing that we do over and over again. How many times did God provide for us? And then we start grumbling and complaining and crying out to him and praying like, why God, why is this happening to me? Like, how is this going to work out? I'm so scared, whatever it is. Maybe we're crying out to him and asking why and grumbling and complaining. And he's like, well, what? But I've provided for you in the past. I'm going to provide for you in the future too. I think sometimes we do the same thing. So this is where the Israelites are right now. They're complaining. So if you want to read all of it, it's in Exodus 16, and you can start with verse 1. But I want to tell you, once they were complaining and everything, this is what the Lord said to Moses, and it starts in verse 4. He said, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. And then he says, in this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Okay. And then we're going to jump over to when it happens. So, you know, Moses goes out, he tells the people and everything. And in verse 13, it says that evening quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it is. I love this part because it was a supernatural miracle. It was not wheat laying there that they'd seen before. It was not anything that they had ever experienced before. It was supernatural. How many times does God do something in our life that's so supernatural? Like, how did he send this to us? Like, I've thought about that for when I look back, because I'm older, so now I can look back and see God's hand in my life. When I didn't know that his hand was going to be in my life in certain situations, especially with provision, with jobs, with money. Like, where did this stuff come from? Like, what is this? How did he provide this out of nothing? And that's what they're saying. That's what he wanted them to see. Like, this is supernatural. This is from me. And then Moses said to him, this is the bread that the Lord's provided you, right? It's different bread than they've ever seen, but they're calling it bread. This is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. And this is what he commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer. I think that's the way you say it. Omer. And what that is, this is like about a little over 2 quarts, about 10 cups, okay? Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. So if it was just 3 of them, they would take an omer for those 3. If they had 10 people in their tent, then they would take that much. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much and some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much didn't have too much. And the one who gathered little, they didn't have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. And then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. So let's break this down a little bit. So I want to kind of break this part down. Then we're going to go back and we're going to look at some more scripture with it. God rained down that manna from heaven daily, and he told them exactly what to do with it. He gave them step by step by step. Now, did they understand how it happened? Did they understand what was going to happen in the future? No, they didn't. But he gave them the steps in front of them to do. And so the first step that he said is gather. He said, go out and gather this. And he told them exactly how much to do. So I want you to think about this in terms of your life. Maybe it's your work that God has set before you to do for the day, okay? Maybe it's a job outside the home. Maybe it's a job, maybe you work from home. Maybe it's a ministry that you do. Maybe it's serving someone else, but that's the task that God put before you. Maybe it's providing for your family. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's washing dishes. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't always have to do with physical payment, but it has to do with gather is the task that God set before you for the day. When he told them to go out and gather, he's not saying, when he tells you to go out and gather, he's not saying, no, don't go overwork yourself. He says, don't stress. You're not going to stress. You're not going to scheme. You're not going to be unethical in your business dealings. You're just going to go do the task I set before you. So I love this part because I think that it shows that we are to work and we are to work hard, but we're not to work with a mindset that we control everything. That if I don't do this and I don't overwork myself, then I'm going to lose this job, or God's not going to provide for me, or everything depends on me. I'm the one that's in control. We go gather remembering that God is sovereign and he's the one that's in control of every single thing we do. And this applies to, I know I have a lot of young women that listen that have young children. This applies to you when you are gathering in your home, when you are washing clothes and you're washing dishes and you're taking care of things. And sometimes it can be super overwhelming. I want to say a couple of things to you from someone that homeschooled and run a business from home. First thing first, don't compare. Sometimes we get in that overwork, overstress mentality because we're comparing what we should be doing. And right now, if you're listening right now, it's making sourdough bread at home. And God didn't call everybody to do that. It was kind of funny. I had a conversation about that this morning. So what I'm saying is don't look at what other people are doing. Think, oh my gosh, I need to go do that thing and stress yourself out over it, because God may not have been the task that God set before you today. So make sure you're not comparing. Make sure you're not trying to have the Pinterest home and the perfect Instagram clothes and outfits for your kids and all those things. And the other thing is make sure that you are walking in obedience to God with your priorities and you have created a schedule in your home. Those things are important. You have created organization and not chaos. Okay. Those things are important too. And those things are all about walking in obedience to God. Okay. But it looks different for everybody. So I'm going to say that first to you. Don't feel like you're overworked and can't get it all done. If you can't get it all done, then there are things you didn't need to do. is basically, or you weren't putting God first in that, and he controls time. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. And you didn't get enough time to get it done because he said, I just took that time back because you didn't give it to me. So those are just some things to think about. That's probably a whole nother podcast, but we are together. That's the work and the task that God set before. So he told them to go do that together. And then he told them how much together. This is what I saw differently than I'd never noticed this before. He said, go gather a certain quota. So this was going to look different for everybody because it depended on how many people they had in their tent. So I want you to think about this in terms of your family. So some of you may have, it may be husband, wife, it may be husband, wife, two kids. It may be, you may be single. It may be husband, wife, 10 kids. So you would gather differently, a different quota, right? Well, it's the same thing with work. Like the task set before you is going to look different because you have more people to provide for. And so he told them, go gather an omer for each person. And this is the coolest thing right here. I want you to think about this. They're walking around with their basket. He said, gather an omer. So they're probably just judging it based on, you know, okay, a handful. If I grab 10 handfuls, that's probably an omer or whatever. So they're putting it in their basket. They're kind of counting it like, okay, I think I have enough. And then they go out and they measure it. And he said, everyone, I'm going to go back and read it. I just think this is so cool. He said, and when they measured it, the one who gathered much did not have too much. And the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. So this is what I want to tell you. When you go out and work, God is in control of that measurement. He's in control of that quota. He's in control of that time. He's in control of that money. He's in control of everything. And it's supernatural. And sometimes we forget here on earth about the supernatural power of God. But if you've ever experienced things in your finances where you've received money or things and you have no idea how in the world that all worked out, or God has stretched your paycheck when you think, I don't think I can make it to payday, or he has stretched your food, or he has stretched your laundry detergent, like whatever it is, when God has done that, you start seeing that supernatural power. And I'm sure for anybody on here that's walking in obedience to God, I have no doubt that you have seen God's supernatural power in your life. But it does take walking in obedience. That's the thing. He told them, go gather this much, and I'm in control of it all. So he stretches food, and he stretches money, and he stretches time. And then this is what he said in 19. Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. Okay. So he's telling them, look, why did he tell them not to do that? He could have provided supernaturally for them for 40 years in one thing. And it could have been like the widow's oil and where it just kept filling up every day. Okay. I mean, that could have happened, but why did he do it that way? I think this is so important, and it shows so many different things. But one is God wants us to come to him daily. Because if we don't, we're going to forget about God. We're going to think we control everything, and we're going to take things for granted if we don't go to God daily. And so it has to be with that you are trusting God with your provision daily. And I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and it was funny. I had written most all this out on Monday morning, and I was talking to her Tuesday, and she was talking about how God had told her to do something and that he would provide the manna daily. Like, he didn't want her to do it ahead of time. He wanted her to do it daily. And when he provided that manna, then she would go do that thing. And I was so blown away by that because of writing this down and thinking that it has to do with trust. It has to do that we're going to say, you know what? I trust you. I trust your sovereignty. I know you're going to provide, and I'm just going to walk in obedience to that. And it's just such a cool thing. So when he said, don't keep any until morning, and then in verse 20, it says, however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. And Moses was angry then, like, of course he's angry. It stinks. It's got bugs in it. So they disobeyed God. I want to think about this in terms of how many times do we try to hoard things? When he said, don't keep it until morning, he's like, don't hoard it Don't keep it out of scarcity mindset because you're afraid that the next day you can't trust me and I'm not going to do what I said. Don't keep it out of fear because you fear you're going to go hungry. Don't keep it because you feel like I'm in control now. I got this. I'll keep it till tomorrow. I control everything. No, he said, I've got you. Just come to me daily. I'm going to be your provision. So let's talk about this in terms of money, because of course, for us in our society, money is what buys everything that we need, right? I want you to think about when it comes to hoarding money, and sometimes we use this term called saving. I want you to think about this when it comes to saving money. Saving money is very important. I totally believe saving money is biblical because we need to be good stewards of what God gave us, okay? We don't need to be blowing our money to try to keep up with other people or to try to have this certain lifestyle or whatever. Like, we're not to be doing that. We are to be saving money. But the difference is the heart intention behind saving money. Do we save it out of fear? Do we think, if I just save this money, then I will ever be in a situation where I'm hungry or I'll be able to pay my bills? But the funny thing to me is a lot of people that save money still live their life in fear. They also find their security in money. Like, I'm secure, everything's great because I have this money. But God says, you know, if you look at your brother or sister in Christ and they're suffering and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry, have a good day, and you don't give to them, but yet you're saving all this money over here, then there's a problem with you. That's not walking in obedience to God. So if you're saving because you're hoarding and you're doing it out of control and out of fear and out of that scarcity mindset of I'm never going to have enough, and you forget that God is sovereign, that's the difference between the heart intention of it. And let me tell you this, what did God do with that? He took it away from them. Do you know how easily it is for God to take money away from us? I think about this when it comes to investing in the stock market, and we have, you know, people, I've seen rich people that have invested a lot of money, and then we have a recession or depression, and they lose so much money, and they are so upset about. God can change the amount of money we have, no matter how much control we think, in the blink of an eye. He can change it. So always make sure that when it comes to your money, that you are walking in obedience to God and that you are saving with the right heart intention when you're doing that. And everything, when you're spending, everything always needs to be with the right heart intention, okay? That was part of it. Now, let's go down to verse 23. And this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, and save whatever's left, and keep it until morning. So what he told them to do is on the sixth day, they gather twice as much. They gather two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses, and this is what he told them, okay? For then they had saved that until the next morning. So are you understanding me? God said, hey, I'm going to give you a day of rest. Gather enough today for 2 days now and go ahead and bake it, get it ready and everything so you don't have to do anything for the next day. When they did that and they kept it for the next day, they woke up and it didn't stink and it didn't have maggots in it. And then this is what's so interesting though. He told them that's what he was going to do. But nevertheless, I love these words. I love the words however and therefore and nevertheless in the Bible. He says, nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. And he said to Moses, the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? Okay, I've given you bread for 2 days. Okay, you're supposed to stay here and rest on the seventh day. So I love this because the Israelites had been enslaved for 400 years. So in slavery, there's no day of rest. They were going to work from sun up to sundown, day after day after day. So if God would have said, hey guys, take a day of rest tomorrow, they wouldn't have done it because they would not have even understood what that looked like, because that was ingrained in them from childhood. And from their parents and from their grandparents for 400 years, that's all they'd ever seen. And I want you to think about that in your own life. If you have been raised or ingrained in a certain way that you work till sun up and sundown. You do not rest. Rest? Why are you sitting over there not doing anything? You can't relax and rest. You always need to be doing something. You're going to have trouble with this. You're going to have a lot of trouble with this. And it all comes back to control, to the fact that we feel like we have to control everything. Everything depends on us and we're not depending on God. God did not say burn the candle at both ends until you burn out. But I want to say that rest looks different for different seasons of life. So lots of times we think about Sunday as a day of rest. We go to church that day, which I am all for. Church, community, I know that's walking in obedience to God to do that. I think it's really, really important. However, at certain seasons of our life, that may not work for us. There may be men that are called to work for their family and to work on Sunday. Does that mean that God did not give them a time of rest? Yes. They still have to seek out that rest, and that rest means resting in God. It means studying the Word. It means reading the Bible. It means sitting quietly and waiting for God to speak to you. That's what that day of rest is. But there's seasons in life that that's going to look different for everybody. I also think about paid staff at church. When I was on staff at church and I was paid, that was a work day for me. I had to show up. I didn't go to service. I had to work. I was really busy, right? So my time of rest, I just didn't walk through the door and sit down and worship. I didn't even get to go to worship. So it looked different for me. And so my day of rest had to be another time and another day. And it was usually on Mondays. So it looks different for everybody. But what we have to realize is that God still gave us rest. But we also have to remember that there's times in our life that we have chosen to work on Sunday or to work, you know, 7 days a week or whatever it is. That is not what God has chosen for us. We chose that ourselves. And we need to be very honest with ourselves, and we need to be very, very careful with that and just make sure that we're walking in obedience to God. And the other thing is, be careful with judging people in this area, because you don't know. You know what God's called you to do. You don't know what God's called your neighbor to do. And so if they're working over there on Sunday, unless God ask you to speak into that person's life because you have a relationship with them and you know them very well, you need to stay out of it. Stay out of their business. So I see kind of both of those things, but rest is something else that is showing that we trust God. We trust God with our finances. We trust God with providing in our life for us to be able to keep our job, for us to be able to get all the things on the list done that we need to get done, that we really trust Him with that. So my question to you today is, what area of your life are you doubting God's provision? Maybe it's a job, maybe it's money, maybe it's just something that you're needing, you don't know how you're going to get, or maybe it's time. You just always feel like you don't have enough time to get this done. So what area are you doubting God's provision? And where are you trying to go your own way and not trust in God? So one verse that I always stand on when I'm wondering, like, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Like, when I get a little anxious and I start asking that question around my business, the things that He's called me to do, I always go back to Matthew 6:33. It says, seek me first. Seek Him first in His righteousness, His kingdom, and all these other things will be added into you. And if you look at that and go back before that, He's talking about like worrying, like, why are you worrying about stuff? I'm going to be your provider. And I just think this goes together so well. And so that's what I want you to think about is, first, before you're worrying about your provision and not trusting God, going back and saying, am I seeking Him first in my life? Let me seek Him first. I don't have to worry about anything. He's going to be my provider. And then another thing I want to share is, I believe that obedience is an action. When we're walking in obedience to God, it's actually an action. It takes a step of faith to walk in obedience to God. So sometimes God calls us to take a step of faith when it looks like that is just not going to work out. Like, if I do this thing, it may not be enough money for me. Or if I do this thing, I may not have the money for that. Or is this the job that you want? Because I just don't see that working out for me. But if that's where He called you, you take the step of faith first. Because He's not going to show you this vision and plan and every single step that you're going to take. And sometimes he does give us a vision for our life. He says, you know what? I'm going to take you here one day, but you have no idea how you're going to get there. And then if you think, God, I know God's going to take me over there, but I'm doubting how he's going to take me there. Like, he's shown me to do this and that doesn't seem to line up, which is just ridiculous, because if God's going to take you there, he's going to do it in his way, which is going to be the best way. So take a step of faith when in obedience to God. So, and understand that he's going to provide. You just have to trust him. He's not going to show you those future steps. He's testing you to see, are you going to walk in obedience to me or not? And that's exactly what he did with them. And I would just recommend you go back and you read Exodus 16 and you pray about it. Because he said, in this way, I'm going to test them and I'm going to see whether they're going to follow my instructions. And maybe when he calls you to something and you just don't see how in the world that's going to work out, he says, I'm testing you to see if you're going to follow my instructions or not. I wanted to end today with a prayer for you, a prayer to help you that you can pray daily to help get your mindset on trusting God and knowing that he's your provision. And so this is just kind of a prayer that I wrote out, but it says, God, show me what to gather today. Show me how much. Show me where. Show me how. I know the provision is already there. You know my needs more than I do, and I thank you for your provision. And I think saying that prayer will just help you to put your focus on God, be grateful, be thankful for the provision that he's already provided. You just can't see it yet. And then ask him, how do you want me to walk in obedience to you today? So I think that'll be huge if you pray that. As always, thank you for listening. Go follow me on Instagram. You can find all my links in my bio. I have a free Bible study in my Facebook group. I have some stuff on my website that's free for you if you want to go grab that. So, and always leave me a review. I always forget to say that. But if you can leave me a written review, you don't know how far written reviews go when it comes to podcasting and really getting this message out there to help more women listen and find it and grow. So hope you guys have a great week.